Hello and welcome back to another episode, another normal episode of Blossom Buddies. This week is
season 5, episode 8.
We are not live on Instagram. If you listened to last week's episode, you may have noticed that it was complete chaos. It was filmed on the same night as this one was filmed. This one, I imagine, will go much smoother. Because
although I still am under about three hours and 20 minutes of sleep. So
that's true. You're actually,
but there's no pressure to perform for a live audience.
You're actually,
it got worse as like I saw more people joining too.
Yeah.
People would, join.
We did go up to four or five people.
My friends are here.
And that's another thing we should have been ready for. So if you are listening to this and you did watch, thank you for coming by. Sorry we didn't have our shit together, but it made for maybe good television, maybe bad television. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe we got some new listeners out of it. But we are here to talk about season 5, episode 8 of Blossom, entitled The Game You Play Tomorrow. I realized the last episode we didn't mention like who wrote it or directed it.
None of that, because we didn't have any. I was using my phones, I was using all my screens to record different platforms. So we weren't thorough. We didn't talk about who the girl Alex was. I think she was an actor from something or another, but it doesn't matter now.
Her big thing was like As the World Turns or something.
Okay.
She had like bit parts. She was in like Star Trek Deep Space Nine, so you can't recognize her because she was an alien, but she was in like 6 episodes of that, and she was in like guest starred like one off in a bunch of episodes, but then it was in 182 episodes of I think As the World Turns.
Okay. That's she. Yeah, she was probably a TV, like just somebody that was on everything in the 90s.
Yeah. She's very 80s and 90s actor.
This episode definitely has one of those guys as well, but we'll get to him in a second. This episode was written by Jonathan Schmock, who we've talked about, and Gil Junger, who we've also talked about. We don't need
maybe it's younger.
Is it younger?
When you click on his IMDb profile, he is sitting shirtless with a MacBook.
Oh,
that's it. That's Gil Junger's
John McAfee. Yes. McAfee is a television personality from the internet and wrestling. John McAfee was the inventor of McAfee antivirus, but also like an anti-government crazy fucking like lived in the jungle with
he lived in the jungle for like the last 15 years or something.
Killed himself, potentially was killed, but conspiracy theorists say he killed himself because he was gonna like release this big secret, because all his interviews were like something big's coming.
Assange say about it?
I had McAfee on my computer literally a month ago. And I find it so crazy that I got rid of McAfee off my computer because fuck that bullshit.
It's the worst.
It's my fault that John McAfee died. That's
because you uninstalled his software. He was like, if one more person uninstalls McAfee,
and I'm going to click clack myself.
You killed him.
That's okay.
He would have died anyway.
That's true. Fuck, man. Compared to last week's episode, our fucking rapport is already like.
This is better. We got this moving. I can do this under 3 hours of sleep any day of the week.
I know.
I don't think we made a single joke from the wrong episode.
It opens up with this episode is mostly about Blossom and Six getting accepted to various colleges, but it has a couple other side plots going as well.
This was more like a standard Blossom episode because it focuses on Blossom's there's some character development. Six and Blossom have a conflict and they sort it out, and so Blossom and Six, we open the episode, they've received both of them have received all their college acceptance letters on the same day. They just all came in at once, as if all the universities in the United States coordinate and mail the letters out simultaneously.
University Letter Day. But we find out that they read each other's acceptance letters. Blossom, they each got into four or five.
So they hand them each other's.
And Blossom, but
they all got into different schools.
Yeah, Blossom got into like Ivy League schools like Caltech and UCLA, and Six got into like Florida State and North Dakota, like just garbage schools. But you know, they're not on the same level. They're not on the same level school wise. You know,
which is fine.
Blossom's a genius, and Six is more of like the everyman character.
Yeah, that's fine. So, like, she got into a bunch of schools. Like, still good for her. Like, that's fine.
Anyway, it is great. Because I think Joey got into one school, didn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Comparatively.
And on a baseball, like not on academics.
Yeah, but I thought that he also got drafted. I thought he got accepted to college and drafted separately.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because he's not playing for a school team right now. He's playing for like,
he's in the farm league. Yeah, he got drafted. It's not a guarantee, but there was a whole episode about it. Go back and listen
to it. Right. No. Yeah, I will.
Not you. The people. I broke the fourth wall there. If I talk to you, is that breaking the third wall? Is that a thing? I don't think that's a thing.
No, it's breaking the Zoom wall.
Breaking the Zoom meeting.
Let me cut into the kitchen. Carol is making a bunch of food for Shelly and Tony because, as we touched on last week, Shelly is pregnant and eating everything. There's a pile of beef.
Yep.
That, I mean, Tony makes a joke about how she's given them half a cow, but like that, I mean, it looks kind of like a quarter of a cow. Like that's like a whole cow leg. It's like huge. This amount of food that Carol has prepared. And then there's like more plates of full like rump roast.
Well, there was two other plates. One was potatoes and one was, I immediately could tell what it was. They were Yorkshire puddings.
Oh, he did say that. Tony was like rump roast and Yorkshire puddings.
Oh, apparently I didn't Shelly even like
British food.
I could just tell what they were by looking at it because
that is impressive.
Have you ever had a Yorkshire pudding?
I have.
Yorkshire puddings are dope as fuck.
Yorkshire puddings are the best food to come out of Western Europe.
Pretty much. I think. Pretty much.
I can't think fish and chips. England has good fish and chips, but I mean, come on, anyone can make fish and chips.
My grandfather was briefly married to a British woman, and she was like from, she was Welsh, and she used to make these crazy English breakfasts for us that were like the legit, like with the beans and fried tomato and the whole shit. Dude, the only thing comparable is like when you go to a Newfoundland person's, I don't like to say Newfie.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But if somebody from Newfoundland's house and they cook you Jig's dinner, similar kind of equally awesome things. Where if somebody does it right, it's fucking amazing. But I could see it done poorly and be terrible.
Of course, I've had good Yorkshire puddings, which are some of the best things in the world. And I've had bad Yorkshire pudding, which is just like slop.
Yeah, you can get the Yorkshire pudding that like comes in like a gravy packet, basically. You can find them in the grocery store.
I don't know if I've ever had the frozen like grocery store Yorkshire puddings. I don't think I would ever.
I've made
because you know they're not going to live up to what they're supposed to be. But you can also have people who've never made them before and just are like, I'll try making this, and then they cook it too long or not long enough or something. I don't know. I've never made them. I don't know what
or fill it specifically fill it up with wrong. Human shit.
Yep. Oh, Yorkshire pudding. I thought you said York shit pudding.
York shit pudding. Beans and shit. Fried and tomatoes shit and shit.
In a dough. In a dumpling.
In a shitlin. Nope, that's a different thing. And I think it's pronounced shitlin. And let's move on.
Let's move on from that. Blossom comes in with her college letters and everyone's excited. And then we cut to a different scene where Six is bummed that they're not going to get to go to college. Wait.
Hold up. There was a couple things I wanted to mention about this little bit here. Okay. They make the exact same joke with the parents reading the letters. I just wanted to point that out. But the aunt versus aunt conversation. I was raised in the East Coast in Nova Scotia. We called our aunts, which I find out moving to Ontario, you guys all call your mother's sister, father's sister, aunt. I was raised aunt, and my wife is like, no, it's aunt. And I'm like, no, it's aunt. So what is it for
That's you? Funny. Aunt. It's aunt for me.
It is aunt? Is it just like a colloquial thing? Like,
yeah, I think so. And here's another question, more specifically Canadian, because I know like west of Ontario, they don't say a, they say hey. Like, how's it going, hey? Like Manitoba onwards?
Really?
It's a thing. Yeah. Like my company, we have offices in Alberta and BC, and like one of my best friends who is in my wedding party is from Manitoba, and she says hey instead of a. You said, but East Coast, it's a, right? E-H.
It's definitely a. And also the hey thing to me is more like a way you end a sentence to make sure that the person talks back to you, which is what a sort of is. But it's not like how you doing, hey. It's more like I went down and I went to the barn and I looked inside the barn and I saw the cow there, hey. To be kind of like, you know what I mean? And similar, that wasn't a joke about. I just said barn by accident. I wasn't making it.
As soon as you started, I was
joke.
Like,
I
wish I had some drums. I wish I had some drums because
that would have been a badumcha if I had meant to do that. that would have been a terrible joke. That just I just said burn, and I meant to say house. Craig.
Anyway,
I had 7 hours of sleep, and I'm just stupid.
So the moral of the story is somewhere between 3 and 7 hours is the right amount of hours of sleep.
Yeah, I think it's we both have 6 hours of sleep, and we're good to do a podcast. Yeah. 12 hours into our day.
Kennedy also asks how Shelley got pregnant, and they just kind of blow that off.
They're just like, nope, that's not the episode we're on.
that's the spinoff. That's the Kennedy, Carol, and Nick spinoff hour.
Which we never got because this season killed the show.
Yep. Yeah, they were definitely gearing up to do a spinoff, and nope.
They were gearing up to like have the show go like 8 seasons is what the microcosm of this season feels like. They were like, this is it. That's what the people want. They don't want the edgier family comedy. They want Full House.
The Russos. They want Shelley and Tony to have a baby, and they want Kennedy to be the Kennedy. You know what Kennedy is like? Kennedy's like on the Cosby Show when they brought in friggin' Raven Simone.
Yeah, it's the same. It's when they brought in the little kid on Fresh Prince as well.
Yeah.
When Vivian has a baby and he ages up. Nikki. We've talked about this for sure.
He's Nikki. 0 years old 1 year, and then he's 5 years old the next year.
And they just go, wow, you've gotten big.
Yeah, they call themselves out, which is great. Like, that's why Fresh Prince is such a great show.
It's true.
Or like, if we're so rich, why can't we afford a roof? Fucking brilliant. Fucking brilliant. No other show would do that. None. Don't even bother.
Don't even bother. No other show in the history of television has broken the fourth wall.
Anyway, yeah, so Six is bummed and they're not going to go to college. They're not going to go to college together. My note here is it's time for these girls to grow up a little bit.
They've been trying to grow up for so long.
They're going to grow up a little bit in this episode and realize they don't have to spend their lives together.
But they're very much like they grow up in two steps forward, one step back ways, where they'll go way too far 1 week. They'll be like, oh my God, Blossom ran away with Vinny overnight to a motel. They're going to bang. Then the next week, they're like,
Six is dating David Schwimmer, who's twice their age.
Way too heavy. Way too heavy for their age. And then the next episode, they're like,
let's
be fashion designers and make tie-dye.
We'll make tie-dye t-shirts.
We're going to be the next Liz Claiborne.
On a whim. And then we'll forget about it tomorrow.
We'll get some kid covered in fucking ink.
Yeah. Anyhow. And then, so we get back to another hotel, the same hotel room for same Joey, hotel. But with different furniture.
I
don't remember. Tiki?
I think it was Tiki. The last episode, I was like, was it fucking underwater themed last time? And I was going to comment, but then I didn't because I was like, no, it probably just was. And I because they're just in Grand Canyon or whatever the fuck. And then this week it was the same room, but with the Tiki motif.
I love that. See, the thing is, and Fresh Prince would absolutely make a joke about the fact that it's the same hotel room every time.
Yeah,
I guarantee Blossom's never gonna. They're never gonna draw attention to the fact that
They actually in this episode they do something like that in the credits, which I'll get to. Did you watch the credit scene for this episode?
We'll get to that at the end. We're in the hotel. Joey, it's a Little John from Robin Hood Men in Tights.
His name is Eric Allen Kramer. He looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin now, which is funny because in this episode he looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin did before he was the one that everybody knows 90s. With the goatee. Yeah. He had like blonde thinning hair.
This Stone Cold Steve Austin? And wouldn't that be amazing if it actually was?
But if you just look at his IMDb,
here's his evil twin.
Did you look at his IMDb page?
A little bit. I didn't go down the whole list. I just looked at best known.
Okay. Well, I'm showing it on the Zoom call, but he looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin now does today as well.
Yeah. He looks like halfway between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah, I can see that. But this dude, you would recognize him to see him. He's one of those actors that has been in literally everything. He's usually a big dumb guy, and this episode is no exception. He plays a baseball player who apparently has been on this fucking farm team for 20 years because he was there during the Reagan administration, which was about a decade ago at this point.
I don't know how long you think a decade is, but it's not 20 years.
Well, I said apparently 20 years because he's telling. Okay. Trolling me.
10
years. He's been there.
I mean, this guy is Yeah,
he's aging. He, the dude's aging. He looks like he could be Joey's dad.
How old actually is he? Because I have a feeling it's one of those things like people in the past looked older than they were. So if I look him up, he's 1962. So at this point, yeah, he's like 31, 32.
Yeah.
Yeah. In this episode. So yeah.
Now he's in
the 10, 15 years. He could have been playing for that team, I guess. If, yeah, whatever. Joey's in a slump. And this guy starts giving him advice, but he just shovels pizza into his mouth. So we don't get to actually hear any of the advice. It's probably, the joke is probably that it's supposed to be great advice, but Joey doesn't catch any of it because it's all muffled.
It could have, like, I don't even think that was the point. I think the point was just like, this guy's probably giving him bad advice and shoveling pizza and beer into his
mouth. I mean, it probably was bad advice.
Then he calls his dad, and in the background, the fucking dude just passes out and falls off the bed, passed out. So he's also probably a raging drunk.
He didn't have a beer. With his pizza,
he was slamming pizza too hard and not fat to for the amount of pizza he was slamming and passing out eating. Maybe he's just starting to age.
Yeah. Where was I in our notes? Yeah, Joey calls home. Yeah, and Nick's, he's just like, oh yeah, it's just like I'm in a slump, Dad, but it's just nice to hear your voice. I don't need to come home to talk it out or anything. But I mean, he goes home to talk it out. Spoiler alert: in 5 minutes, Joey shows up at the house.
So then we get Tony, Blossom, and Carol are going to watch a movie. They do a little wordplay back and forth where Tony's like, good, bad, and the ugly. And then Blossom mentions a movie I don't know I've ever heard of, but it's like John, his wife, the deputy, and the soldier or something like that.
Something. And then Shelley's like, how about the lettuce, tomato, the salsa, the chicken? Like, she just lists
roast beef and peanut butter and sausage on a sandwich.
Because she's pregnant and she eats weird stuff is the joke.
Yeah, and she like,
I don't know if we brought that up, but that's her character for these two up, if
that's what we keep talking about. But she also like starts to go into labor, we think, and Tony's like, she's like, there's something weird, and he goes, just dip it in the pudding. And I thought that was funny because he thought she was talking about food still.
I missed that. That's freaking awesome.
Because but what I phrased it was perfect.
Yeah, it was good. But having had a wife who's given birth to a child, like, labor is not like that. It's not like you're sitting on the couch getting ready to watch a movie and then it's like, oh, I need to go to the hospital. It's like contractions happen kind of off and on for days. Okay, this is just our experience. I mean, maybe, I mean, it's not everyone's experience. But even like the doctors and forget the other word, for people who aren't doctors that help you give birth, not doulas,
wet nurse,
not wet nurse. That's what I wanted to say as well, but it's not wet nurse, but whatever, the
OBGYN.
Nope. That's also a doctor. Anyway, whatever, people who, all the professionals, they tell you like, they don't tell you like, hey, when you have a contraction, you're giving birth. It's like, I mean, other sitcoms do it well. They're like, once the contractions are 5 minutes apart or whatever it is, that's when you call the hospital.
I find that the trope on TV is that people who have their first baby, it's always much like this episode where they freak out and it's so painful and blah blah blah. And then the next, if it's somebody that's having their second baby, they're always just like, oh yeah, I'm having my baby.
Walk into the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah. I know what's happening. But I think that the first time having a baby is completely different for everyone. And some people might experience this exact
that's
experience.
Fair. I mean, she's never been pregnant before, so that's possibly what they're going for. She just
and freaks some out people might just have a gaping chasm of a vagina and just be like, meh, first baby. That reminds first me of, time.
Have you seen Monty Python's Meaning of Life?
I've seen parts of it.
Have you seen when the Catholic woman, like the Catholic family just has like 38 kids and just like, she's doing the dishes and one just falls out on the floor.
There's a joke. It might've been a Dave Chappelle joke, but it's like this woman's had so many kids that they just start coming out like it's a Stargate. I can't remember who made that joke, but that's pretty funny. That's
fucking great. Anyway, so they rush to the hospital. Then there's a commercial break. Psych. It was false labor. Yeah, if this wasn't streaming online, we would have had to sit through 2.5 minutes of
2 minutes of commercials, and then on a Friday night, this is what we're doing for the night on a Friday, and then, she's not having the baby. They're going to telegraph it for the rest of the whole season. Didn't see that one coming, Craig.
No, that's going to be a very special episode instead of just a thing that happens in the middle of an episode about Blossom and Six getting their college letters.
Yeah, but we do get a good moment between Tony and Blossom here where they talk about their fears of
Blossom. I wrote Tony and Nick have a heart to heart, and I was like, wait, where was Nick during all this?
No, they, no, yeah, Tony and Blossom and Tony took Shelly. Tony's like nervous that he is afraid of saying a phrase wrong for his whole life.
Yeah.
And Blossom is afraid of having to play her evil twin on TV, which I'm pretty sure she's had to do before. And I don't know if that was like an in-joke for us. But then Joey comes in and he just uses a phrase wrong, which is one of his like shticks.
Has Blossom ever done it? Because this is her first TV show. Before this, she was only in Pumpkinhead and
No, I mean, on Beaches. This show, she's played an evil version of herself in those weird Flash Sideways. Like,
oh, yeah, that's true. The Flash Sideways. Oh, yeah, I forgot about those.
Remember that one episode, the film noir episode, she was the killer, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Or she was.
But then there's the one, the one that sticks out to me. And we brought it up like 2 weeks ago. Where they're all like worried about like the alternate families they could be in.
Yeah.
But Tony's worry is that they're all fucking like bikers.
They're drunk bikers.
And he's just like, oh, don't hurt me, family. Don't hurt me. Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Fucking funny. Where were we? Where were we? Joey comes home.
We're in the living room the next day. And yeah, Joey and Nick are talking about the slump.
And Nick's like, whoa, what if the fish stick guy helps?
The fish stick guy.
Yeah. Which is great. I love this because it's obviously an inside. Like, I love they do no exposition whatsoever. Like, we have no idea where the fish stick guy came from.
I have a hypothesis.
What he means. Okay.
The fish stick guy is the highliner guy from the fish stick box.
Oh yeah,
and Nick clearly dressed up like him as a kid, as a lark when Joey was a kid to help him through things, because Joey is a simple man, a simple dummy. So when you put on this getup, or is he? Still, this episode does that too. That does the whole like, is he dumb or isn't he dumb? And I'll get to that when we get to it. But the costume is essentially just Nick dressed in a yellow fisherman's hat, a rubber jacket, like a fisherman's jacket, and goggles?
Swimming goggles, some kind of goggles, which didn't make sense at first. But once you see what they're about to do, it makes sense. And the way that fish stick guy helps Joey with his baseball problems is to pitch fruit and vegetables.
Melons, starting tomatoes. With big
melons, but then he gets smaller and smaller. So that Joe, until eventually they're hitting cherry tomatoes. So Joey gets within 45 seconds, Joey immediately gets better at baseball.
It's true. And it's the scene was really funny because every time it would be this, the shot of the scene would be him, Nick throwing something and Joey swinging, but then cutting to Nick getting just blasted with clearly vegetables. A different fruit or vegetable.
It's so funny. Like, it reminded me of like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air again, whenever Jazz would get thrown out of the house, where they would just like, you would never see him get thrown out of the house. It would just cut to him obviously jumping out the front door over the camera.
Yeah, but they talk about that on the reunion special. He wore the same outfit.
Oh, was he actually thrown?
No, he was thrown once or twice, and he was thrown by James Avery, but they didn't want to have, they knew it was going to be a running gag, but they didn't want him to have to get thrown like, you know, 30 times or however many times
he
gets
thrown. It was also that they only had the exterior of that house for like one day. So even if they wanted to film it in the future, they didn't have the outside of the house again. They couldn't have filmed it again.
But they literally
So anytime you see Jazz show up in an episode and he's wearing that shirt, you know he's getting thrown out the front door.
Exactly.
Which I love.
But that's a wicked great thing
to go back and be able to watch.
They do address that in the reunion special, and that reunion special I did watch a couple times. It's good shit.
Yeah, it's good shit.
It's good shit, pal.
Yeah. Let's get through this. The timer went off, so let's run through the rest of this episode.
Cool. So, after that, we get a huge double woe in this scene as well.
We get a simultaneous woe. Nick and Joey woe at the same time in harmony.
Yeah. I forget why, though, now. Maybe because
Joey's better. I'm good at baseball now. And they're like, whoa.
No. What happens is he hits a baseball and it goes out. Like, he just smashes a baseball out of his yard and it hits a window because it's a sitcom. And they do a simultaneous woe.
Mm-hmm. And then they run inside because they don't want to get caught.
Yeah, because they're both children, hitting baseballs.
I would do the same thing. I like that. I think they have that bond. Well. Like Nick is like, he's in no way being like, we got to do the right thing. We got to go pay for their window. He's like, they just don't even say anything. They just run inside.
He's also written almost completely differently for almost every single episode. So,
yeah, remember in season one when we thought he was a mob boss?
He would have murdered Joey in season one if they pulled this shit, even though he was a fucking accomplice. Right, so we're back in the kitchen. Nick goes on a little bit of a rant because Carol's kind of giving him shit for helping Joey.
And yeah, Carol's like, you're being overbearing. Raised. You're parenting him too much.
Yeah, he's like, I've raised two kids. I've raised three kids. You, how many kids have you raised? Kennedy's like seven.
And she, yeah, and they, she gives this speech about how, like, she, for the first 2 weeks Kennedy was at kindergarten, she stood outside with dark sunglasses on before realizing that she can't be there to fix all of Kennedy's problems for the rest of her life. And Nick ends up taking that to heart. But Carol also hints at Nick and Carol having their own kid.
Yeah, because basically Carol is like, I was kind of hoping, you know, Nick's like, you don't have the experience I have, you know, you have to go through it. And she's like, well, I was hoping to kind of not go through it alone. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, well, what if we had a kid? And he's like, you're not. And she's like, no, I'm not now. But why don't we have that conversation? Yeah. So they were definitely trying to this season was probably full, like in the writer's room was probably like, we're repiloting the show. Blossom's moving on. She's probably
well, for sure. Become a season megastar. Six.
She didn't.
Would have been Shelly and Tony's kid and Nick and they season six would have been Shelly and Tony's kid and Nick and Carol's kid. Like these the dad and the son both raising kids at the same time. That would have been like the new
premise. Blossom. Blossom would be gone to school. She'd show up every, you know,
she'd be like episodes. Suzanne Summers in the last in that season of Three's Company when she was practically written off and she just called from a room.
Yeah.
Once an episode. Let's do a podcast about Three's Company.
I'm in.
No one's talking
come
about
and knock before. On our door. We could probably come get and knock on our door. He doesn't seem to be up to too much now.
Yeah. Where were we?
That's John Ritter's son. If I know you know that, but if the listener doesn't know who the fuck Jason Ritter is, it's John Ritter's boy.
John Ritter was the star of Three's Company.
He was the star.
I know it also starred Joyce DeWitt and Suzanne Summers and then a bunch of other people in the later seasons, but I mean, John Ritter made that fucking show.
Don Knotts was the original.
Don Knotts after season three. He was not the original landlord. Was Don Knotts
the second landlord?
He was the second landlord. The Ropers were the first landlords and they got a spinoff after, I think, two seasons. And I think there was this weird thing where they were like, if the show doesn't last X number of episodes, like we get to come back to Three's Company. Like they were real nervous about doing a spinoff.
Oh,
and then the show lasted like one episode longer than it needed to. So they're like, you're not coming back to Three's Company. Don Knotts is here for good.
And Don Knotts is probably better because Don Knotts is fucking great.
No, he was too. I don't like Don Knotts as much as the Ropers because really? Don Knotts was just on his own. He didn't have like a wife character to like be a prick to. Like Mr. Roper was such a fucking dick to his wife. Like they were just bickering all the time, and that was fucking great. Like I get why they got a spinoff show.
The way I remember Don Knotts' character too is he was like subversively gay or something.
He was very flamboyant. He always had like bright shirts and like scarves
and a scarf like tied into a bow onto his neck. And
exactly.
I don't. It might just be like my misremembering, but maybe it was like a trying to have a gay character on a sitcom in the 70s or early 80s.
Well, I mean, the premise of the show is that
John Ritter was gay because he
pretending to be
women.
Gay.
That's
so
the
that
only way. Yeah,
he could live with two women in that apartment. So it
that
was,
actually
yeah,
makes
I didn't
it a
really
bit,
get it.
Makes it a little bit darker that he was faking being gay to live with women.
Yeah,
kind of like Bosom Buddies.
Would not be made today.
It's kind of like Blossom Buddies. We're pretending to be funny. So,
all right, let's wrap this up.
After that, they discuss having a kid. We're up in Blossom's room. They continue to discuss life and going over like the schools are going to go to, and they're having a bit of separation anxiety over that. They kind of come to
they
the
immediately sort it
that,
out.
Yeah, you have to look at the bigger picture. Blossom talks about when Vinny left. She immediately saw it as this bigger picture. Like, it's not just going to be me and Vinny forever. We're going to have our lives because we're young. And that's what's happening to me and you, Six. But the thing, the difference is he's just a boy. We're like sisters.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be able to call each other. It's more likely we'll come to see each other. We're not going to have to be doing a long distance relationship. situation. Yeah. This is all subtext. This is, they literally said way less than this, but this is what I got out of that scene.
Yeah. They're like, they're studying and they're like, what did you get for question X? And then Blossom is like, you know, this whole college thing. Like, they just get right. They're like, it's like in the writer's room, they're writing and they're like, shit, we're on page 21 of a 22 page script. Let's wrap up this Blossom six plot.
Yeah. And then speaking of which, like, Joey Joey calls Nick and he's like, well, I'm not in a slump anymore. And then Joey invites Nick to come help him up to get him back in his groove. And then Nick goes, yeah, that's great. Actually, no, you know what? No, you're going to have to figure this out on your own, Joe. And then that's the end. That's the end of the episode. And during the credits, they did a real
outtakes. Outtakes. It was like a joke.
Like a literally outtake. It wasn't a blooper, but it was like, he's like, okay, Joe, I'm going to throw the cherry tomato. And then the scene is him, just all the fruit that had clearly been busted for that scene was thrown at him. So I thought that was fun.
Yeah, it seemed like a fun thing. And I get why they included that. There was, that whole fish stick guy, like, it was very physical comedy. Like, it seemed like something Ted Wasp would have directed.
Yeah, it was a long scene too, I noticed. And it wasn't bad long. I like it when they, like, you know, when it's like a series of jokes that all pertain to the same bigger joke. And that scene didn't, like, it didn't drag on too long. It was a nice, it was refreshing compared to the melodrama that seems to happen on this show all the time. At any rate, there was one woe in this episode, I think. One simultaneous woe. Bit of the return of the lesson. A bit of the return of a lesson where kind of had Blossom and Six going through some, like, figuring out that they don't need each other.
Yeah, when you grow up, you don't have to see your childhood best friend all the time in order to remain friends with them.
My opinionation, conversationally a lot better than last week. I liked last week's episode better. But conversationally, this was leaps. We're never doing Instagram Live again.
Never.
Unless we adequately prepare for it.
Yeah, like we have all, we'll talk about it a little bit after this is over. And with that, this is over.
You can find us on social media. We'll see you next week, you fucks.
Bye.
Follow us.
I mean, just follow Jason. All right, stop recording.